Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
It's Freestyle Friday, and I am Glenda Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And yes, I'm back. I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for July 27th, 2012, episode 454, and it's brought to you today by Kentucky Performance Products. So good morning, horse people.
I can't take it anymore.
Thank God it's Friday.
I would like, if I may, to take you on a strange journey.
We worked all week so that we can eat and own a little piece of God's ground. Pushing papers and pens, red tape never ends. The stress can turn a smile into a frown. I need some horsing around.
Well, I know that you guys have been talking about it all week long, but Olympic fever has taken over. Congratulations to everybody on the United States Olympic team and the eventing division because they have all just passed jog up. Woohoo! All Americans made it through, baby.
Pretty much everybody did. All the horses, everybody did. Yeah, from across the board.
Well, let me just be American for a minute and cheer on my country, and then we'll get to that. My country.
Welcome back,
by
Jamie.
The way, yours did too. Hey, so this is the other thing I want to talk about, Olympic fever. You know who Usain Bolt is, the track star?
Yeah. Was he a sprinter? I don't remember.
He's just the fastest man on the planet is what he is. And there's a horse, there's a three-year-old thoroughbred that is owned by 100 people. And these 100 people pay a bill every year. And one of the 100 people is Prince Harry that owns this horse. And his name is Usain Colt. So they named him Usain Colt. He's a big horse. They say he's very athletic, built, has lots of character. He's laid back with a big personality and a presence like no other. He's only won one race, but he had just finished one. I think he came in third or fourth or something like that. He finished second in a field of 10 a couple weeks ago. So they're trying to get Usain Colt and Usain Bolt to get together and meet, but apparently they're finding Usain Bolt a little bit busier than Usain Colt is, so they're hoping for a meeting. And apparently, Prince Harry, who is one of the people, visited Jamaica earlier the year and showed him a picture of the horse. And Usain Bolt was quoted as saying that to have a racehorse named after you by someone who owns it like Prince Harry is a very high honor. Pretty cool, huh?
That's pretty cool. Did you know that he's known for being late? You know, he's one of the fastest guys. He is the fastest man in the world, and he's known for being late. They had a press conference for him in England yesterday or the day before, and he showed up 45 minutes late. Apparently, he's never on time for anything. They just pray he shows up for the races. So.
Yeah. Well, apparently, he's been getting ready and training in a place that is surrounded by thick bushes, patrolled by security. And he's training with nobody else around. Nobody can watch him train. So he's very secretive, too.
That's funny. So we have a laid-back Jamaican who's the fastest guy in the world who's always late.
Yeah, pretty much. And training in secret. So who knows what he's doing? I mean, I guess people get out there and clock him and try to figure out how fast he is. Good Lord, he's fast. So there's your Olympic story, horse-related story of the day. Now, my other question is, everybody kept saying, Glenn, that we needed to watch the Colbert Report last night, and I missed it because I was flying home.
Matter of fact, did they do anything? Do you know?
I don't know. I didn't see anything on Horse Nation. They seem to be up to date on that kind of stuff, so I don't know.
Well, let me. I'll look it up on YouTube while Jennifer tells us what's coming on, and we'll see if they did do anything.
Okay. Ta-da-da-da. On today.
Maybe our listeners can help us on our Facebook page with that too.
On today's Kentucky Performance Products Freestyle Friday edition, we celebrate Jamie's return with a celebration of recycled horses. Elizabeth Letts, the author of The $80 Champion, one of our favorite books, is here this morning to tell us about a cool new blog project she has going. And Really Bad Ads is here with some Olympic-sized classified catastrophes. And in honor of the aforementioned absurd ads, the most ridiculous holiday I've come across yet, Happy Take Your Pants for a Walk Day.
Okay.
Leave the rest at home.
You read it, your own meeting, folks.
Take your pants, leave the rest at home. My daily Winnie goes out to two-time Olympic fencing champion Marielle Zangunis, who will be carrying the U.S. flag at the opening ceremonies in London here in just a few hours now. Actually, the opening ceremony started 9 p.m. tonight London time, 4 p.m. Eastern time here. You know, I saw some negative comments on Facebook about why they pick a fencer and blah, 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 and they were really giving her crap, and then these people didn't realize that this is all voted on by the athletes. The athletes, all 529 Americans, vote on who is going to be carrying the flag. And she is so popular. She's won 2 gold medals in the last 2 Olympics. She was the first American to win a fencing gold in 100 years in 2004. And she's going for her 3rd consecutive women's gold in London. And she's just was so popular, and she's apparently always smiling from what I read, and she just makes friends with everybody, and that's why she won. So she won a vote. That's why she's there. The other athletes like her. So good for her. I think it's terrific to do that.
I must say, when I saw that, I was exactly, I'm like, why did they pick a fencer? Really? Seriously? But now, okay, it makes sense. Everybody's going to be mean about something, you know?
Well, you know what?
Who it was.
There was a couple people that said, why didn't Phelps get it? He should have got it, you know, the swimmer. And Phelps didn't even get voted as captain of the American team this year. He's not well-liked. Apparently, he's hard to get along with, and he's not a team player. So that's why the other athletes are just like, no, we're not voting for him. So,
yeah, any of those guys that worked out all the time, and they talk about how much they eat all day. I dated one guy that worked out, like, all the time, and I went on one date with him, and all he ordered was a chicken breast. And I'm like, aren't you going to have dinner? And he was like, no, I only allow my body to be, not have any sort of fillers, no carbs, only chicken breasts 7 times a day. And that's proceeded to talk about his diet of chicken breasts the entire rest of the date. And I couldn't get out of there fast enough. And every time I think of Michael Phelps, I think of that guy. And I'm like, Michael Phelps probably just talks about himself all the time. I don't know that to be true, but it seems like it.
So between you talking about being a vegetarian and him talking about chicken breasts, that conversation just went nowhere.
Oh, we were a match made in heaven, Glenn.
By the way, okay, the chat room is open. Jennifer, I just wanted to check that. We always forget to mention it. Is it open?
We are counting the little hourglass is going. We're connecting. We're thinking, and we're open.
Okay, chat room is open. You can go to blogtalkradio.com and click on the Horses in the Morning link there, and toward the bottom of that page is the chat room where you can chat with other listeners during the show. And it's Jamie's turn.
Well, I have 2. My first one goes to my dear, sweet angel of a husband who took care of the horses while I was gone. I went on a surprise vacation to visit my family, and I will not comment about how well it went or how well it did not go. You did see the video of me surprising my mom, and that was in the first 30 seconds of getting there, and it went all downhill after that. However, that part was totally worth it. I'm glad that I did it. I'm glad that I went and visited. I had a great time with my mom and my dad and individually. So that's all I'm going to say about that. But I come home, and my once green pool is now brown. He leveled all the salt. He did so much work. He mowed all the grass. He just was awesome. He just did a great job. A couple times he would call and say, I think I'm just going to leave the horses out tonight. And I said, honey, if you leave the horses out, that's when the mosquitoes come. It's about 9 o'clock at night. They're going to start running, and you're going to pay for it, because then you're going to have to get 6 horses in that are running back and forth. And he's like, oh, it'll be fine. Then I get a phone call frazzled an hour later. You were right. You were right. I should have brought him in. Oh, God, that was awful.
I can't tell you. This brings back so many memories, Jamie. When we had our big farm with like 20 horses, and it was my, you know, I had to do the barn that night because Jennifer was gone for whatever reason. And I said, oh, just leave him out tonight. It's a beautiful night and everything. This just brings back so many memories. I always paid for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, I'm like, babe, bring them in and give them their grain. No, it's so nice out. They can just stay out. They don't need to come in for grain. And then, like, almost in the back of the background of the phone, I would hear, brum, 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 brum. Honey, now you could have got them when they were quiet. Now you're going to get them when they're running.
Yeah, that brings back memories. Yeah. Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we all do.
One more Daily Winnie. I know. All right, so we all know who Mark Todd is, the Olympian Mark Todd. This is going to be Mark Todd's 8th Olympic Games. He is the second oldest person competing in the Olympics, and he is this year, and he's also the second oldest ever competing for New Zealand. He is one of the most accomplished equestrians in the world. He has won 2 gold medals. He's been in 7 Olympic Games. He's won badminton 4 times, burley 5 times. He's won gold medals at the World Championships twice, and he's won 20 other international events. The guy is amazing. Here's the problem. He posted on his Facebook page, this is getting too much. First, the man in the food hall says, what are you an official for? I say, I'm an athlete, to which he replies, oh, you must be in shooting. He said, he fired back, no, 100 meters. Then today, I go to get on the bus to come back to the village from the park, and the woman stops me and says, this bus is only for athletes. I patiently explain and show my accreditation. Then, back in the village, I decide to go for a free haircut. And the young guy at the reception says the same thing, stops him and says, athletes only. He says, it's too much. I want a badge that says in huge letters, I am an athlete. But you think about it, he's 56 years old, and he's running around Olympic Village with all these, you know, 18-year-old gymnasts. Of course they're going to be like, I'm sorry, your family's not allowed.
You know, and he does look his age. I mean, he's been outside a lot, you know. It just goes to show you the difference in athletes. I posted a picture on our Horses in the Morning page just before the show started. I don't know if you took a look at it yet, but what it is Irish Olympic 3-day event rider Camelia Spears, and she is 5'5". And she met one of the tallest guys in the Olympics, Polish volleyball player. Well, I'm not even going to say his name. He's 6'11". Did you see the picture of the two of them together?
Oh, it's fantastic. He looks like he could eat her, like just swallow her alive. Chomp.
It was a great picture. It was terrific. Jennifer, you were reading a little bit yesterday about the Olympic Village and everything, the food and everything that they're serving there. It's quite a feat to put all that together, that's for sure. let's Really Bad Ads is back today because Jamie is back, and we'll have that later show. Thank you for all the entries. We had a bunch of entries for Really Bad Ads, and of course we have some great prizes from Redmond Equine that will be today. But the opening ceremonies is tonight, everybody. It starts here in the United States at 7:30 Eastern. Now, Jamie, did you download the NBC Live Extra app for your phone yet?
No. What is that? You have to tell me so I can download it.
Just go to the App Store and search for NBC Live Extra, and it'll pop up, and just download it. You can watch. It's the live feed for all of the events that they're putting out a feed for, a video feed. And yes, like the yesterday, I was watching some of the soccer and stuff. You can watch it right on your phone. So as you're traveling around, it's a great app, too. You just bring it up. It brings up the homepage, and it says live video. And you pick live video, and it has little blocks with all the video that is live at this time from all the different events. You pick one you want to watch, and you're just watching it.
Now, what's the difference between the live and the live extra?
The live extra is the one that brings you all the different video. Apparently, the live is just one feed, and I think the live extra is bringing you, you get your choice of the video that you want to watch. So for horse people, you're going to want to pick live extra because that'll guarantee you'll be able to see the horse stuff. Yeah, it's a great – and the picture was – now, I'm on Wi-Fi here. I don't know how it would work over 3G. I'm not sure. If you're on Wi-Fi, it's probably better. But it was a great picture. I mean, it was really crisp and clear. And, you know, I was watching soccer on this tiny little screen, and it was still pretty clear because that was the only event they had. But it does list all the different events. It's really a good app. NBC has come a long way in their coverage. Now, I will say that you have to, or you can't watch any of NBC's coverage online, be a paid subscriber to a cable company or a satellite dish company in the United States, because you actually have to use your cable company's login to be able to watch any of the coverage on NBC's on the internet on NBC's website or on their apps too. So that's just a warning.
Wow. All right. Hey, real quick, before we get to our first guest, Glenn, I just wanted to run over what's really great about the Olympics is we don't have to wait around for the horse stuff to start, because it started today with the first horse inspection, and the dressage starts tomorrow at 10 a.m. their time, 10 a.m. to 4:45, July 28th and 29th, July 30th is cross country, 31st is the second horse inspection, followed by the team jumping and then the individual jumping. So that's all going on. But then right after that, fantastic news, August 2nd, the dressage Grand Prix starts, and that goes all the way through the 3rd. And then the jumping starts on the 4th and goes all the way through the 7th. There's some finals and the dressage mixed in. It's just going to be absolutely fantastic. So you've got wall-to-wall equestrian coverage. I mean, it should be almost every day is something horse related. Even after the dressage is gone, the pentathlon starts, and there's horses in that too.
Now, unfortunately for people like Jamie who live on the West Coast, this live coverage starts at 4 to 5 to 6 in the morning every day on the horse side Eastern time. So you're going to have to get up at 2, Jamie, now to watch before the show every morning, and then you'll be in good shape.
Glenn, that's what's magical about the DVR and TiVo. Just click that puppy on, and I get to wake up, have morning coffee, and sit down and watch the Olympics. It'll be fine. I can't wait.
Okay, good. All right, good. Well, let's get to our first guest. We haven't heard from her in a while, and I did mention to you last week that she had a bit of an accident. We're going to find out about that today. This is our broken bug with jockey in training, our adopted bug, Callie Francois, who's on with us this morning. Good morning, Callie.
Morning, Glenn. Morning, Jamie. How are you guys?
Good. We're apparently better than you. Now, I posted on Facebook this morning that you're our broken bug. You're a bug that got squished.
I like that title.
Tell us what happened.
Well, you guys, to be honest, I don't remember any of it, but what did happen is that it was a freak accident. The horse ran chest first into the rail. It was trying to get...
You were, just to go back a little bit, Callie, you were breezing a horse that morning? You were working it? You were breezing horses?
Well, it was the last day of the day, so I was just galloping that horse.
Okay.
I may have breezed some horses earlier. That I can't remember either. I don't think that was a Breeze day. But no, it was the last set. I was one of the last Pletcher. Yeah, it was the last Pletcher horse on the track for the day. But Freak Accident, the horse bolted and ran chest first into the rail, and I think actually broke it, put a pretty good solid break in it, and I apparently hit my head on the rail and had a very scary-looking fall, and I'm not sure if the filly flipped over and fell on my leg or if she stepped on it, but what happened was I remember waking up in the ambulance, and I ended up fracturing my ankle bone in three pieces, and now I have two screws in it.
You have hardware, Callie.
I have hardware now.
Now, you told me, though, that from the people who witnessed this, they really thought you were going to be in bad shape, that you had broken your neck or your back, that something much worse than your leg had happened. Is that what you had told me?
That's completely true. I've had a couple people, you know, a couple of my coworkers call me up, and apparently everybody thought not only was it bad, everybody thought I was dead. And I wasn't breathing for a good minute and a half after I landed. But grace of God, it was only my ankle, and I consider myself really, really blessed.
Definitely blessed. Oh, my gosh. Now, how are you doing now? It's been a couple of weeks since the accident. Are you in a cast?
No, it's awesome. I'm in a boot, so I can, if I have, like, a scratch or something, I can scratch it. It's great. I can take my foot out and... the surgery cuts they don't do that at all. So it's great. I don't have an annoying cast to deal with. I have the boot. It's fantastic. I am so agile on those crutches. You won't even see me running by on them.
They must have given you kids crutches. First thing I thought of when you told me you were on crutches is they must have given you kids crutches.
You know what? I told them I was 5'2", and I'm actually using crutches for, like, the height of a 5'4 person, so I don't know what's up with that, but I'm on the relatively normal side.
Okay. Now, how long are you off for?
Of course, I'm one of those rare cases, so I can't put weight on my foot for another 2.5, maybe another 3 months, and then you know, we'll look at it at that point and see if I'm ready to start physical therapy, and then I'll start then. And I'm actually back up in my hometown, Marinette, Wisconsin, and I have, you know, a string of my old horses, and I'm going to start riding on them before I get on any thoroughbreds. And then hopefully the plan is I'll go back down to Palm Meadows around December, January time. But I really can't say anything for sure until these next 2-3 months, and until then, it's no weight on the leg.
So, that is just brutal, girlfriend. Oh my gosh, that's awful. So, when you say to Todd Pletcher, you have to say, "Hey, Todd, I broke my leg in like a million pieces, and I can't ride for you for 3 months." Does he say, "Well, you just come back whenever you're ready," or are you kind of fired from that job?
No. You know, they've been great. You know, they're doing what they need to do. And, you know, I talked on the phone with him probably the next day, and he's like, "I'm so sorry that happened." And about a week later, I went out to the barn in the afternoon and said, "Hey, do I just still have a job?" And he's like, "Of course." You know, so he really is a great guy. He's a nice guy.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So while you're in downtime, you talked about getting on the other horses. Are you getting on anybody with a cast and just thinking, just go stirrupless?
No, because this injury is actually pretty serious. I hate to sound so negative, but I'm just kind of laying out the facts. I don't have the best circulation down in that area, and it's very important that I keep weight off of it, or I might be walking around with a gimp for the rest of my life. So, you know, I'm probably going to go out and see the horses, and, you know, that's probably about it, because I am not, you know, I'm not going to risk over something silly like, you know, being led around on a pony or riding around stirrupless and, you know, end up falling and putting weight on that foot, because that would be very detrimental. So.
Well, you're a very good patient then. Good for you. And this, it just sounds like it about broke your heart and you're trying really hard and you sound down and I'm so sorry. Out of all of this, is there something that you have learned from, trying to make a negative into a positive? Is there something you've learned from this?
You know, I honestly, I'm not too negative about it. I'm just kind of staying out the facts, but I am expected to have, you know, it's expected to have a full recovery, and I can't wait to get back in the saddle, but, you know, it's, I've always expected to get hurt. It's not, you know, if you get hurt in this industry, and it's when and how bad, and it just happened to be July 5th, so, you just got to learn to roll the punches, and I was actually talking to Rosie Nefrovic, before the meet started, and she's had so many injuries, and she said, you know what, I've decided to stop being bitter, and whenever you get an injury, you appreciate the vacation time off, and that's what I'm doing, so I'm definitely keeping myself busy during this time.
Good advice from a fellow jockey, you know, that was terrific advice. Now, Callie, I do know one more question for you, and then we'll let you go, because I know you're really busy. You have Olympics to watch. So
I know.
You're going to
awesome.
Get to see them all,
Callie. I
have time
off to watch the Olympics.
Now, are you, without giving any spoiler alerts here, okay, no spoilers, I know you went to see the movie Batman, so what can you tell us? Was it worth it? Did you like it?
It was definitely worth it. I mean, luckily I went into a theater where nobody was there, so I could rest my foot up against the back of the next row, but it was awesome. I loved it. You should definitely go see it, Glenn.
Okay. All right. Just checking, because I know you posted that you went to see Batman, but I didn't have the results. Well, Callie, you take care of yourself. Let it heal. You have a long career ahead of you, and I'm so glad you ended up with a good boss in the racing industry. That's also nice to hear. Callie, I got to tell you this. Right now, Jamie, Callie, going by my front window on the road is a lady in a little Meadowbrook cart driving a Mini. Just went by my front window.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Happened.
No way.
Isn't that cute? I wish I could run over and take a picture. Yep, she just went
by.
That's
so cute.
That's what happens when you live in an equestrian community, those kind of fun little things. Well, thank you, Callie. Start off with Minis, all right? That was what my point was.
Good idea.
We'll see you. Take care.
Thanks, guys. You have a good one. Go USA.
Bye, girl.
Yeah. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, I feel so bad for her. She's so sweet.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I mean, how awesome to have somebody like Rosie Nefrovic to talk to about what you're going through. I mean, she's an amazing female jockey, but it just sounds bad. I feel so bad. My little heart is breaking for her.
I know. I know, and I talked to her a couple of days after it happened, and you know, she was actually had a pretty good attitude then. She's back home, and I'm glad she went back home. She's not alone, you know, by herself in an apartment, but she's back home where mom and dad can dote over her a bit. And she's getting around. I mean, she's up and around with her cast on or her boot on. But all right, good. Well, we're glad that she's okay. It could have been much, much worse from what we heard about how that came down.
Okay,
let's take
check
a break
this out.
Now. Yeah.
Hold on. Before you get to that, I have now gone on to my NBC. What's it called? NBC Sports.
Oh, the Live Extra?
Live Extra. And I've gone on, and I was clicking through all the sports. And you can favorite the equestrian sports. And once you favorite a sport, it lets you know, it sends you like a text message or something or an update here telling you 15 minutes in advance of it starting. How awesome is that?
Oh, that's pretty cool. I didn't know that. I got to figure that out.
And then I favorited trampolining because I just have to see this.
What? Is that a sport?
Trampolining.
It's a sport?
It's a sport. It's freaky
really?
That it's a sport. It's a sport this year.
Why is it a sport? Is it one of those, like, exhibition sports?
It's a real sport. I don't know what it is, because that's why I favored it, because I wanted to know. I got to see this. I just got to see this. Trampolining,
right.
Baby.
I'm favoriting. Oh. If you're doing trampolining, then I'm doing badminton.
Yeah. Let's see what kind of sport that is, for sure. I do.
All right, everybody. We need to do a commercial. Hey, Kentucky Performance Products, so I talked to her yesterday. They have something really cool going on right now, and it's right up your alley, Jamie. And
I know.
She said, you saw what it was. They're doing
a
contest.
I saw it on Facebook.
They're doing a contest where it's called Does Your Horse Have a Song? And what you have a chance of winning is a signed in the box, brand new, never been removed, pristine condition, Theodore O'Connor Briar, autographed by David and Karen O'Connor. And that's what you have a chance of winning. And they have this blogger that writes for them at Kentucky Performance Products, and she wrote that she picks songs for that represent the personalities of her horses. And I thought, well, Jamie does everything with songs. She has her own personal song she sings when she's, you know, all nervous and everything. And I thought, you know, what song best fits your horse is what the contest is. And you go over to kppusa.com. Oh, there goes the mini again. It's a paint mini. So cute.
Oh, my God. Focus, Glenn. Focus.
Sorry, there's a paint mini driving by my front window. What do you want? So you go on there and you post it. All these people were posting all those different songs. I think some of them are made up and some of them are real songs that describe their horse's personality. So what would Jet's be?
Well, Jet and I have a specific song that we sing. And you know, when I talked to Daniel Stewart, and he was an equine sports psychologist, and he says, you know, sing a song that makes you feel good, that makes you feel like it's, you know, you're going to transfer that positive energy basically through your butt down to the horse. There's a song that really represents, like, when I first heard this song, it empowered me. I felt like a powerful woman when I heard this song, but the lyrics really, really describe my horse. And it's the song by Sugarland, I Ain't Settlin'. And the whole thing is, I ain't settlin'. Just getting by, had enough, so. For the rest of my life, tired of shooting too low. So raise the bar high, I ain't settling, no. So that's the song. Now, to me, that song screams, I'm not settling for anything less than what's perfect. I am not settling for anything that is less than exactly what I want it to be. And I was thinking, men, you know, when the song came out. Now, what I'm thinking with Jet is, as he's running sideways in the warm-up and trying to buck me off, he's saying to me, I ain't settling down. No, I'm going to keep on bucking. So that's our kind of song that we sing to each other before we go to compete. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. Now, I got to tell you that I read one of my favorites of all the entries they've had so far is this lady, Andrea, who posted, I have a quarter horse Percheron mare. She has an attitude, but she is most known for her extremely large appetite. And, of course, Percherons are known for their extremely large appetites, that's for sure. She says everyone started calling her a hippopotamus. So this is her song, which I thought was, I don't know if we're going to be able to hear this. Oh, it's not playing. I can't play it. So her song was, I Want a Hippopotamus for Christmas.
I saw that coming a mile away.
I thought that was a pretty good one.
Well, everybody, please go on and enter the contest. I would like to consider me singing publicly on the air as my entry, and I'm so embarrassed that the Elizabeth Letts is sitting on hold, and maybe you've heard me sing. So hopefully she wasn't. She wasn't on hold.
You let it all out there, Jamie. You were letting it all out. I was letting you go. I'm like, if she's going to do it, I'm going to let her go.
Thanks, Glenn. Thanks. I was waiting for you to go, okay, it's enough. And you
no,
didn't
I was
going to
see how she sang the whole song. I was waiting.
Well, that is, go to kppusa.com and check it out and win that Teddy O'Connor Breyer autograph by David and Karen O'Connor. How cool would that be? It would be fantastic. So let's get our next guest on the line, and it is, I'm so thrilled to be talking to her because I just love her new project. It is Elizabeth Letts, the author of The $80 Champion, the book about Snowman. It was just released in paperback, and she's also got a fantastic new project. First of all, good morning, Mrs. Letts.
Good morning. As long as you're not planning to make me sing.
What's your song with your horse? Please, let's enter you in the contest.
Well, I thought you were going to say that the rhinoceros song was I Like Big Butts.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good one, too, for a Percheron cross.
Mm-hmm.
and sadly, I can sing all the words to that one, too. Embarrassingly enough. Well, first of all, let's talk a little bit about The $80 Champion and the fact that it's now released in paperback, and it is a smashing success.
Well, yes, the $80 Champion, which came out in paperback at the end of May, and it has been sitting on the New York Times bestseller list ever since. Probably most of your listeners know it's a story about Snowman, who was a champion show jumper in the late 1950s.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's and terrific. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, the rag-to-riches story, if anybody has not read this book yet and you're a horse person, first of all, get out from underneath the rock. Go and get this book and read it because I did not get out of bed for the 2 days it took me to read the book. I would get up and go feed and then come back in and read the book. And it was just an absolutely fantastic story, and you tell it so well. And it made me want to follow along. You know, and after this, Carrie DeLayer did an episode of Equestrian Legends on our show where he got to talk to us for an hour, and do a whole episode on him. So if anybody wants to check that out, go to equestrianlegends.com.
Yeah,
too.
That is a fantastic interview. Really, really good. I enjoyed listening to that. I heard things that I didn't know, and I must have interviewed him 100 times at least.
No kidding. Well, I must ask, and everybody wants to know, when is the movie coming out?
Well, I don't know, but I certainly hope it's going to be made into a movie. So there's been lots and lots of people in Hollywood very, very interested, and I guess they just have to line up the right people, and if the stars align, it will be a movie.
Oh, that's great. I just read the book Julie and Julia while I was flying back from Atlanta yesterday. And, I mean, talk about the lady that never thought that it would become like this. She just started writing a blog about cooking.
Isn't that right? I know. That was a really cute story.
Yeah, and just it's so – you never would think that a blog about cooking would be a movie, but this one screams movie. I mean,
it come
does. On.
It does. I know. Well,
so
we're all very hopeful, and I can promise that you guys will be the first to know if we find out who's going to play Harry DeLayer.
Oh, my gosh.
Any suggestions?
I would think let's use Mark Todd.
Yeah. Yeah, he's not quite. He's not. He's. I don't know if he's older than Harry was at the time or not.
Well, we need a younger Harry, and then Mark Todd can be the older Harry. I mean, my gosh, it'd be perfect. Dye his hair blonde. Yeah, it'd be great.
That sounds good to me.
Hope.
We'll have to let him know that he's been nominated.
Please do. Now, we're talking a little bit about your new career, and I have an entry for you. So I want you to tell everybody what you're doing, and then I'm just going to give you a little brief story on my horse because everybody else knows it.
That would be great. Well, the thing about the Snowman story that makes it so compelling is that Harry DeLayer found this horse, an old ex-plow horse, Snowman, at the New Holland auction. He had been given up for sold to the meat guy when Harry saw him. And I think that's the part of the story that people really find so compelling, the idea that this horse who had been given up and was on his way to the dog food factory when Harry found him, turned out to be this incredible national champion. And what I discovered as I was doing my research was that in the 1950s, there was really a big horse crisis, and a lot of horses were unwanted for various reasons that I detail in the book. And a huge, huge number of horses lost their lives during that decade, were actually sent to slaughterhouses. Well, what I discovered very sadly was that the decade that is most similar to that decade is right now because of a variety of factors, the economy and the drought and the price of hay. This is a very difficult time for horses. And so as I was being interviewed, people were saying to me, well, you know, there's so much money in the sport now. Could there possibly be another $80 champion? You know, this just isn't true anymore. You can't take a horse that came from, you know, almost was on the auction block and then turn him into a champion. And I said, you know, I don't think that's true. I said, I think there's still a lot of horses that people are finding, you know, taking off the track or various other places, rehabilitating them. And no, they may not be winning the national championship, but they are doing extraordinary things. And so I decided that I wanted to take the popularity of the book to help to shine some light on this issue. First of all, to really try to get it out there and even outside the horse community that this is a problem, that there are horses, unwanted horses. And also to showcase the incredible things that people are doing every single day with horses that other people have given up. And this campaign is called The Next $80 Champion. And so I have a blog on my website, elizabethletts.com, with a place where people can come and just submit their stories. I don't have any specific requirements. I mean, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to have bought the horse at an auction. You do not have to have won a national championship. But if you have a horse that, you know, fell on hard times and that you took that horse and you did something with them, that horse can be a champion, blue ribbon winner, or, you know, what I call the champion of your own heart. And I am featuring those stories on my blog.
So tell us about some of the submissions you've had already.
Oh, they're just wonderful. I mean, I've had quite a few stories about horses that have been, that were thoroughbreds, off-the-track thoroughbreds that ended up at the auction and got rescued. But I've had some of the ones that really have touched my heart a lot are coming from people who, they wanted a horse, they didn't have the funds to look at the kind of horses that many people would be looking for, found a horse that everybody had kind of given up on, would be difficult to ride, and just somehow, you know, either talked their parent into coughing up the money or, you know, working student situation, and then got the horse into riding it. And a lot of the people say, you know, this horse really never did amount to being really much of anything other than the horse that I love more than anything else in the entire world. And I think sometimes those are my favorite stories.
Oh, absolutely, without a doubt. Looking at the story of Forrest, who was a kind of a rescue thoroughbred, and here he is jumping like a 4.5-foot fence. I mean, just these are awesome stories. And the little story about PJ, these are great. So,
PJ, that was the cutest, the project horse. I just love that.
PJ stands for project. It's great. And there's nothing that horse women love more, horse people love more than just a heartfelt, this is going to turn into like a chicken soup for the horse lover soul kind of thing. Like each happy ending story that we have to read. So they're great. And I'm sure you're looking for more submissions. Do you post a new one every day? How does that work?
I don't post one every single day, but I post them as I get around to it. And I do actually have some in the queue. So the people who have submitted, I haven't posted all of them yet, but I try to keep up with it as much as I can. Anybody who sends me one gets a bumper sticker that says $80 champ on board that they can proudly display on their horse trailer or the back of their car or wherever they want. And so far the response has been great, but I'm definitely looking for more stories.
Cool. All right, here I'll give you the Reader's Digest version of my horse, and you can tell me if he qualifies. Are you ready?
Yes.
So he is the son of a Kentucky Derby winner, And he raced several times and either came in first or last. And being last, they said he was fractious at the gate or out of control before the race started. So he then went from being a son of a Kentucky Derby with potential racing challenges to go and be part of a, and he was then sold, and he was part of an illegal gambling ring where in Arizona they do match races in the desert, and it's kind of a Mexican themed. It's like dog fighting, you know, they match races.
I've heard about this.
Yeah, so he was one of those horses, and then he was tied to somebody's swing set behind their trailer with another horse that was tied to the tree. The horse tied to the tree died. He was tied to the swing set and got down to 700 pounds before the sheriff's department came and took him, and then I have pictures of him. He was just bones. The guy went to jail, and the horse went to jail as well, and they have a rescue facility in jail in Tent City for animals. So he spent a year and a half waiting for his court case to be over. Once his court case was over, he was adoptable. Nobody adopted him for 6 months till I walk in there and he looks at me and he knickers. So I go home and I'm like, honey, I found this horse and I think we need him. Well, the saving grace was that he nickered because he was awful at everything else. So he was quite angry. So my husband said adopt him, would bring him home, and it was about a year before I could get anything done with him. He had ulcers. He had just lots of kind of lameness issues. We got everything fixed. I started eventing him. 2 weeks ago, he won his first ever horse trial.
Woo-hoo! Oh, congratulations. Okay, so when do I get the story and pictures?
You know what? It's funny is I've been out of town, and I saw your Facebook post requesting these last week sometime, and I'm like, oh, my God, I can't wait to talk to her. And then here you are booked as a guest. So our producer, Jennifer, did that without me even saying anything. So I've been so excited to talk to you today. This has been great.
And I would absolutely love to write about your horse. You know, I should tell your listeners, too, that you can just write it down in your own words, and if there's any kind of punctuation or anything that needs to be fixed, I edit it free. So people don't need to worry about that. Just write it down and send me some pictures.
Yes, and my submission would turn into like a really bad ad, and it would all be one sentence. There'd be capital letters in the wrong places. No punctuation. You'd have
perfectly
to edit.
Fine. And you know, I do. You said something about the chicken soup for the writer's or the rider's soul, and I do have a secret dream, which I may be able to make true, to be able to take all of these stories and compile them, put them together, maybe just in an ebook form, that way everybody would be able to get a copy. And also, it might be a nice way to raise money for a horse-related charity. So I kind of have that project on the back burner, and I think we'll probably implement that once we've got enough entries.
Oh, my gosh. What a fantastic idea. Now I'm definitely – I want to be published. You know, I'm in. I'll send it to you this week sometime. I'll try to get it all together and get the pictures for you. But he was not an $80 champion. I spent a lot of money on this horse. I spent a whopping $400 on his adoption fee. So,
well, you have to take inflation into consideration. So I think the $80 was the amount that the dog food guy would pay him plus $20 for the horse trailer. So that would probably be, what, $800 or $1,600 in today's dollars. So you actually have a less than $80 champion.
Oh, good. Look at that.
And I can send you a bumper sticker. Would you like one?
I definitely would. I'll submit the story because I also have a $50 champion in the backyard, too. So that would be like a 25-cent champion in the 1950s.
Nice. See, there's a lot more people out there than, you know. When I was a kid, my mother was the DC of the Pony Club. And so when Pony Clubbers would sometimes they'd move on and they'd have these horses they didn't want. And so our corral that out in California was off the side of a hill and you couldn't see it from the house. And my mom would say, we'll take him, but just don't tell your father. He never walks over to the edge of the yard and looks. So that was how I got interested in the issue. We always had everybody's cast-offs back there.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. So how did you develop this love for promoting the kind of underdog in the horse world?
Well, I can say... Well, and yes, I mean, certainly as a rider, I was only ever mounted on underdogs. I mean, I'm certainly the rider who didn't have the budget to go get the big horse all the time that I was competing in everything. So, and then that, too, that I think that I was raised to know that if a horse needed a home, that you find that horse a home. And I think those two issues. And then just, again, finding out really... I describe myself as the Rip Van Winkle of the horse world because when I started to write this book, I had really been away from horses for quite some time. And, of course, you never 100% get away from horses. They seem to rope you back in. So, you know, when I came back and I suddenly realized that there was just this, you know, very difficult situation going on right now with a lot of horses that are... unwanted and the difficulty of finding homes for them and the cost of feeding and everything. And I thought, well, here I've got this book that's not just being read by people in the horse community, but people sort of across the spectrum of interest, that I felt like it was my opportunity to maybe get the word out. There are a lot of people who think a lot about dogs and cats, but the awareness about the issue of horses is not necessarily out there so much outside the horse community. And that's really what motivated me. I thought, here's my chance. I've got people's attention. Let me use that attention to try to do something good.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, I applaud you for it, and the fact that you want to send money to horse charities everywhere. I just Elizabeth Letts, you're just one of my favorite people in the world, and thank you for bringing these stories to everybody.
No, it's my very great pleasure, and thanks ahead of time to everyone listening who's going to send me a story.
Oh, one of our listeners reminded me on our chat room here that I have two stories to tell, so I'll have to send you both of them because they're both my little champions. So I'll,
yes, please do.
I will. And everybody said, go to ElizabethLetts.com. Do you have the next $80 champion is the title. So we're going to post a link to that on our Facebook page. Everybody, please go buy Snowman the $80 champion in pretty much any bookstore, right?
Yeah, you should be able to find it pretty much anywhere right now.
Amazon.
Yep.
Nobody goes to bookstores. Amazon.com, find it in your Kindle. Read this book. It's absolutely fantastic. And then go to ElizabethLetts.com and check out these blog posts. Elizabeth, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure. We hope you come back on soon.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Oh, don't you just love her?
Yeah, she is terrific. And well, you got to get your entry. Now you're committed. Now you really have to sit down and write it out and get the pictures together and the whole thing.
Yeah, you know, I've actually submitted it to the Jet Story, sans victory, to a couple different people. And nobody puts it out there because it is such a sad story at the same time. You know, people that want to promote how great off-the-track thoroughbreds are doing, I'm finding that they don't want to publish this story. Because they don't want to highlight the super negative that can also happen. But I really feel like Elizabeth Letts will tell it like it is. You know, she wants those stories. She wants the heart-wrenching, sad stories. And I would like to point out that Robin Donahue posted on our chat room. She was like, what about Joe Montana? And I totally forgot about him because he's now a champion. He won the pre-comp.
He runs... It's below baby novice for those that don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Like it's like you're if you have a little chihuahua, they could jump it. So, but he won. By God, he did it. So I've got two champions, and so I'll have to send her both of them. My gosh, how funny.
Well, it's great. That's terrific. Yeah, you got to get it in for sure. And you're right. I think she will put it up. You know, I think we're doing a disservice by not highlighting how bad some of these horses have. And I think that's a disservice to the horses because, you know, just like with the Mustang issue, if you're not highlighting what's really going on with the Mustangs and what's really going on, no matter how hard it is, it's a disservice to them because it doesn't tug at the heartstrings. It doesn't get to people's emotions as much as it should because it's reality. It's what's really happening.
Yeah, and that was kind of the sad thing that I realized when, oh, we want your story, we want your story, and then you send pictures, and you go, and I've worked so hard to piece it all together, and then never have heard back from these people that we've had on the show that never really highlighted it, and I really think it's because, you know, the middle portion of his existence was so horrible, both of them, that people want the fluffy stuff. And yeah. I would like to point out that Robin Donaghy apparently is also, is that what you said, Jennifer? She's in the chat room saying that she's reading the book right now, so don't give her any spoilers.
That's right.
Oh,
Robin,
okay.
Not to spoil it, but it's called The $80 Champion.
Yeah, nope. The horse didn't win anything, Robin. The horse sucked. Ended up back at your home at the auction.
The $80 loser, as you will.
Debbie in our chat room, actually Debbie Burton, who I haven't seen, or on Facebook rather, who I haven't seen pop in there before, says, nope, there wasn't anything about Colbert's dressage lesson. Just watched the episode on Hulu. So apparently that rumor was a rumor. There wasn't anything on the show or got cut, one or the other. Or
well,
he fell off and he didn't want to be embarrassed. That could have happened too.
Yeah, that's true. I'm going to record it from now on and just to see or try to watch it live because it's, yeah, I did record it yesterday, tried to get the, like, 3 a.m. feed that comes in. The good news is that DirecTV dropped CMT, Nickelodeon, and Comedy Central from their lineup for about
10 weeks
as close. Yeah, they're back. But those are the only three channels I watch, CMT, Nickelodeon, and the Comedy Central. And I haven't watched TV in a month. I'm like, why? Why watch? So I'm glad they're back so we can now watch them again.
Well, something else that's back in just a few minutes is really bad ad. Thank you to everybody who submitted. But first, we have to take a little break for Equestrian Collections Product of the Week. Plus, there was only one song that we could play today. Isn't that right, Jamie? Only one. You would have killed me if I put any other song in here.
I mean, there's just when we're talking about all the incredible athletes for the Olympics and every single eventer that is entered, good news for the Americans, bad news for somebody I was pulling for, Sinead Halpin, who was an alternate. But every single person passed the jog. And they all passed the jog, and there's just nothing else to play for Clayton and Lucinda Fredericks, husband and wife team on the Australian team, The Will to Win, sung by none other than Clayton Fredericks. Rocket.
We'll be right back.
No, that's not the song.
Hi, Glenn the Geek here, and I am with Debbie from Equestrian Collections with the Equestrian Collections Product of the Week.
This week I want to talk about a new product we have on our site called the Shires H2 Go Bag. This is a new, ingenious idea. Whoever thought of it? It's a big sort of bladder. It's a plastic bladder that goes in your wheelbarrow. You fill it up with water, and it takes up to 19 gallons. I mean, that's a lot of water. And then you can wheel your wheelbarrow wherever you need it to go, anywhere that you can't get a hose to. The reason I got one was because sometimes I park my horse trailer a little bit too far from the barn from where the hose goes. And so I thought, oh, this is pretty cool. So you put this thing in there, you put the water in there, you walk up, you just pull up the handles on the water bag, and the water comes out, and you've got water no matter where you need to go. It is heavy, so once it's filled, so be sure to remember that you need to balance your wheelbarrow, especially if you have a one wheelbarrow. You have to balance it pretty well. If you have a two-wheeled barrel, you know, where the one that has the two wheels in the front, that might be a little bit better thing to use with this bag because it is heavy, and as the water sloshes around, it can get a little bit maybe, you know, to one side or the other. But I use it just fine with the single wheel and don't have any problem. So this is something I would certainly recommend, especially if you need to get your water a little bit farther from the barn than where your hose goes. And, Glenn, I understand you know a little bit about this item.
Yeah, Helena, my co-host on the Stable Scoop show, uses one of these and absolutely loves it because she has those buckets in the paddocks that are further away. And she uses this now, and it seems to be absolutely loving it. 20 gallons of water, and you can walk it right on out there. And you can find it by going to equestriancollections.com and searching for H2GO, and it'll pop up at equestriancollections.com.
is The Will to Win by Team Fredericks. Of course, Clayton, the lead singer there, and they're both on the Australian Olympic eventing team. And we wish everybody the best of luck. They did the jog up today. Everybody passed. It was fantastic. Sorry, my cat is underneath my feet right now and is trying to get to my microphone cords. And
your cat missed
idea.
You.
Oh, God, he did. He's driving me crazy this whole time. I've been fighting with him all morning. Get out from underneath my computer. Turns it off that way. Ugh. Anyway, so while I was gone for the entire week, Glenn, Chad was able to peacefully and happily, all by himself, without fighting with me, take the flexion fork out to work.
You know, after your last diatribe about the fighting that you did with your husband over the Equity manufacturing flexion fork, the best manure fork in the world, I heard from the owner of the company, Joseph, who was sitting actually, he was sitting on the flight deck getting ready to take his helicopter off to drop some more firefighters into some fires in the West. And he said he was listening to it, and he said he just cracked up. He said he thought it was the funniest thing. He just cracked up, and he said if you really are fighting over the flexion fork, which he said happens more often than you think with couples, he will make sure you get another one. So
that would be fantastic, because I don't know if my marriage can take it.
It was funny. Out of the blue the other day, I was recording the Stable Scoop show, and out of the blue, Helena's like, I got to do a commercial for you guys. I said, for what? She said, for the flexion fork. She said, I absolutely love this thing. She said, and she was a kind of negative on the whole flex and fork, shake and fork thing in the very beginning. When we first started to talk to them about advertising, we check out all the products, and if we don't like the product, we don't put it on. And we resisted for a while because Helena was testing this, and she wasn't sure. She wouldn't give it up for her life now. I mean, she just loves this thing. And, you know, the people that have the shake and fork, the one that has the motorized and it shakes for you and saves you all the money on bedding and everything, they feel the same way. They would never go back. So these two might be a little, the flexion fork and the shaken fork might be a little bit more expensive than your average manure fork. But let me tell you, once you use it, you will never, ever go back. Will you, Jamie? You won't go back.
Oh, no. I would like several of them, you know. And again, it was, I can't justify for our marriage buying another one because I got one and it is mine and I carry that thing wherever I go. And dear God, as you know, if I put that thing down, it just disappears and the crappy red one appears in its place. So yes, it would be nice to have another one. And I think that if Joseph actually doesn't send one, that's fine. I'm going to have to buy one because it's just not worth it.
You know, Christmas is coming. You could get your husband one for Christmas.
Is that like a backward present, though? Like, hey,
well, no,
I got you what you
this
really
one
like.
Is yours. This one's yours, yeah. Right? So you're getting his own. You could stencil his name on it.
I'll put his fighter pilot patch on it so he'll know
there
it's
you
his.
Go. You could paint it a cool color like camouflage so that it's a unique flexing for him. You could do that
yeah.
for Christmas.
John Deere green. There you go.
There you
go. It's a green one.
That's funny. Well, you can find all of their cool products at equitymfg.com. Equitymfg.com. Well, I think it's about that time, and we have missed it. It hasn't been here in a while, and, you know, it was voted as the most favorite segment when we asked on Facebook of all the segments that we do. And that is...
Pay attention.
If you ain't met one by now, you're bound to sooner or later. He says one thing and he means another, but hey, he can't help it. He's a horse trader.
Horse trading. Well, it's a laissez-faire. Let the buyer beware. Horse trading. They tell a low-down lie with a sincere stare. Horse trading. Well, if they're talking in circles and the deal ain't square, he's a master in the fine art of persuading. Horse trading.
That's right, everybody. It's time for Really Bad Ads. Really Bad Ads is back. This is the time of the week when we have our listeners send in entries from their Craigslist, usually, from their local Craigslist about some really bad ads trying to sell horses or equipment or, you know, trailers, tractors, whatever. Anything that has to do with farming, they send their ads in, and then we read them to you and hopefully get a chuckle or two. And this week we have two winners, thanks to the good folks over at Redmond Equine. They are going to get the brand new Rock on a Rope. That's right. They've taken the Redmond Equine Terrific Mineral Blocks. They drill a hole through the middle. They run a rope through. And now you're going to be able to hang up your Redmond rocks in the stall or on the fence so they're not sitting on the ground or in a bucket. And it just is going to make it much more convenient for the horse. And it's going to help them last a little longer. They won't be sitting in water, that kind of thing. So if you don't know what Redmond rocks are, you just need, next time you're at the store at the tack shop and you see the display sitting in the great big cardboard box there with all these big looking heavy rocks in it, get one of the rocks. You'll never go back to one of those white press things. You'll just never will. Your horses will love this. It has 60 minerals. It has what they need, including the salt. And they have a human version, too, that Jennifer and I use all the time. So I picked a winner, and Jamie picked a winner, and those two winners are going to get the brand new Rock on a Rope. Thank you very much for sending in your entries.
All right, well, the first ad is Horse for Sale or Trade, and I'm going to read this, and then I'm going to let you know exactly what they actually mean right after I read it. Horse for Sale or Trade, 3-year-old stud, dapple gray, halter broke, okay with farrier, learns fast and loves to play. Or trade with a broke horse that is good with streets, roads, trails, kids, etc. So here's what we did. We bought a 3-year-old ungelded dapple gray because he was pretty and he's halter broke, and we realized that he's going to kill us. He loves to play, under finger quotes. So he's going to kill us. So what we're going to do is we're going to take off your hands, your very well-broke, sweet angel horse, and we're going to give you this demon as trade. So enjoy.
And who would do that? I mean, who in their right mind would go, I have this great horse that anybody can ride, and I want to trade it for this stud that absolutely deserves.
And they don't even say the breed or anything. It's just a 3-year-old stud, dapple gray, halter broke.
And we want it the hell out of here.
Yeah, we can please take him away.
Before he killed my children. That was from Rachel Rosenthal. Thank you so much for sending that in, Rachel. Diane Brooks has sent this one in to us. And, we're going to play a game with this one. It's a new game that we're going to do on Really Bad Ads here. This is called Guess What They're Selling. So I want you, Jamie, you're going to guess what they're selling. Are you ready?
Okay.
Bowen Pride 772Z and 666Y. Hi, the mother of one is Collins Francis 9 times, and father is Bowen Pride 083 times, and it was a twin. And the other's father is Ellison Fields 9T, and the mother is Dreammaker 912T, and it was a twin. Please do not email because this is not the seller's email. Please call Carl, the owner. Thank you.
Now, I would like to say that I would think it's got to be a cow. However, they never actually say it in the ad what they're selling.
I have no idea. I think that's what made it a really, really bad ad. And thank you, Diane, for sending it. I have no idea. Cow's a good thought, but goats or sheep or whatever can have names too, huh?
It can't be horses because they wouldn't celebrate the fact that, hey, it's a twin. They throw twins.
Well, that's true. And cows do have twins a lot. I don't know if Jennifer has any idea. But oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. It's a sheep.
How do you know that?
I just looked it up. I looked it up and it came up. It's on a classified ad in England.
I got to Google, like, what a
it's in Canada. I'm sorry. It's in Canada, and it's a sheep. And it's exactly, there's a picture of a sheep. So that one, it is a sheep. There you go.
All right. Well, the game Guess What They're Selling, it just crashed and burned because you Googled it. Thanks for ruining it. Don Bailey sent the next one in, and this is it's a horse trailer, $1,300 in Eatonville. Oh, God. Let me see if I can read this. I'm going to read it as is. That's what I do, phonetically read it just as it's written. and no punctuation. 2 years and 3 months, old Q-tear, horse already broke, very good temp, very nice. I did break him last year. It's not ride, just red. Already rode him, only money, call Armando. Very nice horse. You will not be dispianted of this horse, his good and out of the trailer. $1,300. What the hell did I just say?
Well, I'm confused. You said the title said horse trailer. It sounded like they were selling a horse.
Yeah, horse trailer, $1,300. 2 years and 3 months. Old Q-tear, horse already broke. Very good temp, very nice. I did break him last year. It's not ride, just red. Already rode him, only dollar sign call. Armando, very nice horse. You will not be dispianted of this horse. His good in and out trailer. Oh, my God. Call Armando. Call him.
Yeah, good luck with that. The next one sent in by Glenn Forrester, and then this one doesn't have anything to do with horses, but he says it's listed. It was listed under farm, and he's right. He said they almost sound alive. And when I read this, you're going to understand what he's saying. And the title was Living Room Furniture, $1, from Farmington, Arkansas, I think. I have a tan recliner. It is in good condition. A one-person sitter or man cave chair would be very useful to the lonely chair. Bought it and only have sat in it for about a month or so till I got a couch. It has a chubby pouch on the left side of it. And it has a cubby pouch on the left side. It's not chubby at all. It has a cubby pouch on the left side of it, and it reclines and rocks. I am asking $15. I have a maroonish love seat recliner, also in good condition. I'm asking $25. And I have an entertainment center that is in decent shape, had it for about 6 years or so, so it is doing well for its age and has plenty of more years to go. I am asking $15. Does sound like that's better than some of the horse ads we've read.
It sounds, it's broke. You ride it anywhere in your living room. Lots of years left. Just go for it. Oh, my God. Awesome. Thank you.
Chubby pouch.
Did you say chubby pouch?
Yes, I did.
Send really bad ads to Glenn, and he'll just read them bad. You can send a great ad to Glenn. He'll make it funny. Okay. Udi Shepherd sent this one in, and as with my favorites, these are always some of my favorites, and this is, I kind of wanted this one to win, but it didn't this time, but Judy Shepherd. I'm like a teenage rider of 15, ideally looking for like a 14-hand or over horse, but will ride a 13-hand too. I'm not looking for a loan, so I cannot also, like, pay anything. I am totally looking to come up with regularly visits, maybe. I got to read that again. I am looking to come up not very regularly, but maybe a couple times a month. Can do more in the holidays. Looking for a real confidence giver, as I have absolutely none due to a cheeky little pony and a lot of falls. I am not, like, fussy on the breed. Must have good nature, no biting, kicking. I must be good to tack up, etc., etc. Looking to do an equal amount of flat work and jumping and the occasional hack if, like, with company. But due to my nervousness, I totally need someone around when I am there, though after a while, this may not totally be necessary. I am based in Santa Cruz Maidstone and can, like, only travel within 30 minutes drive away. I am currently riding in a place in West Farley, so anywhere near there, Coxies, Anthem, Barming, totally fine. If anyone has a horse like this, like, contact me ASAP. Okay.
That's very well read, by the way.
So basically, this teenager, like, wants to ride a horse, like, doesn't want to pay for it, but you have to stand there and, like, watch her ride while she's riding because she's afraid she's going to get bucked off. So basically, I'm going to come to your house, and you're going to watch me ride your horses whenever I want, and you just have to stand there. I'm not going to pay you either. So it's, like, kind of free lessons.
It's funny. Well, Beth sent the next one, and I cut it down. It was a very long ad, so I'm only going to do part of it. It was wanted sheep, poultry, and goats, $100. I am wanting to trade stuff I have for sheep, goats, and poultry. Looking for blue, not green egg layers on the chicken, a molted – oh, by the way, what we've had blue eggs. Are there chickens that lay green eggs?
Yeah, I have one.
Really?
It's an Americana. Chickens will typically lay the color of their legs. And so I have an Americana hen that I bought by accident because I thought it was a barred rock when it was a baby, but it grew up and it was a totally different breed, and they apparently lay blue or green eggs depending on the colors of their legs.
I never knew that.
I don't know if I can eat that one.
Well, you know what? You might want to consider trading with this guy because he's looking for a blue, not green egg layer on the chickens, a molted some kind of rooster. His coon got his. He's interested in anything that is not a day-old chick and is not Polish. I don't know what he has against Polish.
Racist?
But,
God!
I guess the Polish chickens are bad. Old, modern game. He doesn't want old ones. And apparently doesn't want modern ones either. Production black, red, or gold. A Murray McMurray green egg layer. A barred or white rock chicken. Showgirls. No showgirls. Don't bring those showgirls. Or silkies. And he would like the old type clean leg-necked, naked necks. Apparently doesn't want anything with a neck, anything on their neck. Buttercups, old style. I can't even read half the words on here. But I'm interested in most – Benny says, after all of that, but I'm interested in most breeds of chicken. And by the way, his peahen is lonely and would like a male, a white patched or cameo, anything other than normal blue. Because you know what? When you're getting it for free, you're trading, you can be picky. And this guy is being picky about everything. And he also doesn't want any horses, ponies, pigs, potbelly pigs, wild goats, guinea hens, cats, kittens, dogs, or puppies.
So
don't bring any of those around. Or rabbits. Now, what he has to trade is a super friendly registered mini horse, a pony training horse, and a mini pony equipment, and possible pasture space for the right deal, so, and about 5,000 other things. But if you would like to contact this guy about anything, just don't bother, because whatever you have is not what he wants. It's just not what he wants. Because apparently, you can't have green eggs. You need blue ones.
I'm reading this, and first of all, his peahen, his lonely, lonely peahen would like a male, but apparently she's racist too because she only wants a white one or a cameo one. Anything else is unacceptable to his lonely hen, and no Polish. Seriously. And then I'm reading some things that you didn't read that he'd like to trade. Round bales, aquariums, rabbits, saddles, chaps, a pile of bricks. Oh, Beth, good job. Beth, fantastic work. All right, we just get to a couple more here. Tiffany Crumbly sent this one in, and they didn't even spell their location right, but it says, bought this horse to train for barrels for my daughter several months ago, and I've had a few health problems hold me back, and I love him. He's the sweetest thing, and he already has got one of my horses pregnant. If I didn't need the money, I would not sell him. He turned two when I got him. I do not have papers on him, and he does not like horse trailers. It takes me about 20 minutes to get him in one. I have a small two-horse trailer. He's okay in a stock trailer. We've worked with him some, washing him a lot. Don't like the water in his face, but what animal does? We have rode him on our property a little down the road. He rides well with other horses. I would love to find him a good home. He loves his long white hair brushed and ears rubbed. He follows my kids around. Call. You can see him anytime after 5 this week.
Well, there you go. He's the sweetest thing, but don't get it. You won't get him in your trailer. Just forget that. I don't know how you're going to get him home. You might have to ride him.
Oh, you're going to pause my reading? I don't even know what I read because who's got health problems and who's pregnant? The horse is pregnant. The owner's got health problems, but nobody goes in a trailer. It's so bizarre. I've got the next. We got way too many.
I wonder if she didn't figure out that she had a stallion. I love this sentence. He's the sweetest thing, and he has already got one of my horses pregnant. How many teenage girls have said the same thing when you think about it? He was the sweetest thing.
Then he got me pregnant. Hey, why don't you go all the way down, Glenn, to Horse for Diamond Ring, and then we'll save the rest of the ones that we skipped over for. Actually, I'll start with Robin Donahue because she's listening right now. Robin Donahue had the next one, Gray Horse Cheap. All right. Well, first off, I'm selling my just over two-year-old thoroughbred quarter horse filly. She is untrained and needs to be roped to be caught. And that's why I'm asking like nothing. But she will make a great track, trail, jumper, or where do figure eight, like around poles, I forget what it's called. Well, anyways, she just needs the time and effort put in, and she will do wonders for $100. Come you get a great horse. Oh, and don't call me if you have no trailer to get her in or if you don't have set up ready yet. I don't have time to be messing with buyers who aren't ready for a cheap $100 horse. And she lets write the number and goes, call it.
What she was basically saying through that whole thing is, my horse is a piece of crap. You come get it. You don't bitch about it. You just take my crappy horse and you leave.
Exactly. Hey, you can go.
I want to do, I'll tell you what, we'll get to Gemma's next week. We'll add those in next week. But I want to do the horse trailer because we always do one quick, and this will only take a second. This was sent in by Leilani, who is a regular listener to the show. She actually stopped and took a picture of this trailer in this guy's yard. Here is a photo of an old rusty horse trailer that looks like the back half is actually used as a dumpster, and it does kind of look that way. I know that it actually moves around the yard because I see it. Hopefully they only haul trash in it and not animals. So, Jennifer, if you could post that up on Facebook, that would be great because it is actually has wooden sides. And Jennifer says she remembers actually having a wooden-sided trailer like this. So this is a classic. You got to post it on Facebook. The first winner this week of Really Bad Ads, I picked because of what she said. I was a softie. All right, I'm a softie. She said, my daughter, Sophia, found this and just had to send this in for Really Bad Ad Friday. I hope you all get a good laugh as much as we did. I think she just really wants that new rock on a rope. And I pictured this little 10-year-old horse crazy girl listening to our show, really trying to win Really Bad Ads and looking through all the bad ads till she found this one. That just got my heart and had to do it. Now, she's probably 35, the daughter, but I'm sticking with 10. My fantasy's better that way that we're giving this to a little kid who wants it. So it's an Alice Chalmers tractor, WD-45, for $1,200. What you see is what you get. The motor is in pieces. $500 plus new tires on the back. Ran great before the motor quit. It's like, she adds, it's like saying he was perfectly sound before he went lame. Some of the motor parts are now missing. Before the engine failure, this tractor was used every day. It was not something that has been sitting around rusting since World War II. Now, there's a picture of it here, and it looks like it's maybe been sitting around rusting since the Korean War, you know, a few years later. It has quite a bit of rust to it, and it's pink. It's a pink Alice Chalmers tractor, and it ran great until the motor died, and now he took it apart, and he can't even find most of the pieces to put it back together. So there you go. You can push it around.
And for the bargain price of $1,200, you get a broken tractor.
But it has $500 tires on the back. They're brand new tires on the back.
Yeah, you know what? You know how valuable something is when the motor doesn't work? It's a lawn ornament. But it is pretty
pink. It's a pink tractor.
Yep. All right, so the winner, and we skipped a lot of these ads, and we'll get to those next week. We had so many submissions, and there's one I can't wait to tell you about with the whole what the guy is going to trade. And I'm pretty sure he wants to trade his wife's horse for this.
Yeah.
So we're going to get to that one next week because that one's got to be pretty close up to the top. But Don Bailey sent this one in. This is one I picked because, you know, Glenn's a softie. And, some little girl wants the rock on the rope. And so he gets it to her. Mine, I just went with really the worst ad ever. Like, this is a really, really bad ad that Don Bailey sent in. And it's an Appaloosa that they're selling for a whopping $350. Now, I'm going to have to back up from the microphone and probably wake my husband up from his slumber because it's only 7:30 in the morning and I'm going to yell. All right. Hi. I have an Appaloosa. She is 9 years old. She stands about 15 hands high. Load up in horse trailer, stand for ferry. She lawn
sponge. She's easy to saddle up. You can ride her with a hackamore. You can ponying little kids on her. She's easy keep. She will mack. Good 4-H horse. Good with antler, horse, and dog. I ask 350. Thank you for look.
That's just a really bad ad.
It's almost like she was limited on the number of letters she could type, so she didn't finish any of the words.
Like she tweeted the ad into Craigslist.
That's right. And what is it with the fairy thing? F-E-R-R-I-E. We get more ads that say that. I thought I was missing something. Is that a new way to say farrier, you know?
It know. Is in Tweet Talk.
Thank you, Dawn. You're going to get your Redmond Equine Rock on a Rope. You can find out more about those products at redmondequine.com. Thank you again to everybody that sent those in. Well, this has been a fun show. It's so good to have you back, Jamie. We'll be back again Monday morning live at 9 a.m. here at Horses in the Morning after a weekend of dressage in eventing, which we're all going to watch every test over the weekend. And I guarantee you, Jamie will be back to give us a recap of that on Monday because I'm watching badminton. No, I mean, I'll watch a couple of tests. But,
trampolining, you'll be watching
trampolining. Yeah. Hey, you mentioned a book you were reading, Julie and Julia. You know that was a movie, right, with Meryl Streep?
Yes, but I had to read the book first before I saw the movie.
You,
and there's
you
nobody
see
that
the
I.
Movie.
Oh, I know. Well, Meryl Streep is one of my favorite people of all time.
It was
so,
hilarious. She did a great job. She played Julia, and she did a great job.
Julia Child.
It was a great movie. Yeah,
all I
it was
think
a great
of
movie.
Was when she was playing Julia. She's on the cover of the book, and Amy Adams is on there too. And all I could think of was the Dan Aykroyd skit, where it's a Saturday Night Live skit, and Dan Aykroyd's playing Julia Child. Please tell me you've seen this.
No, I didn't.
Oh my God. Dan Aykroyd plays Julia Child, and he's like, "And now it's time to cut the duck's head." And he cuts the duck's head off, and he cuts his thumb off, and there's blood squirting everywhere. And he just keeps going, cooking, even though there's like, "I don't know, I'll be a little bit of blood over here." And
You'll like this movie.
It's awesome. Go check it out. But yeah, I love the book. I read it, and I finished it, and I'm going to have to go see the movie now. I told Chad, I'm like, guess what you get to do? You get to
He'll
watch.
Love the movie. It's hilarious. It's a great movie.
Oh, Willie? Okay.
Yes.
I don't
Matter
know.
Matter of fact, I told Jennifer,
input.
We have to find it on Netflix and watch it again this weekend because I'd watch that one again for sure. terrific. Well, thank you, Jamie, so much. It's good to have you back on the show again. Enjoy some Olympics over the weekend.
Will do. And everybody have a great
Before we go, stop. We decided on Monday that when Leslie comes on Monday, that we're all going to watch the opening ceremonies tonight, and we're all going to pick the worst uniforms and the best uniforms, which countries. So when you're watching the open ceremonies, keep that in mind. We're going to talk about that on Monday, and we're going to get the opinions of our listeners, too, okay?
Nothing like fashion from horse chicks. Fantastic. Good call.
That's
all right, everybody.
So that'll be funny when Leslie comes
Geld. On. Spay, neuter, and geld. Have a great weekend.
I can't find the song. Wait a minute. Talk amongst yourselves. Oh, there.
Okay. Is it really Friday?
Open a ceremony tonight, 7:30.
Or 4:30 my time, I think. All about you, Glenn. Your time.